Well, once again, this is Jim Rowell, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to take up this message dealing with anxiety here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you a brief update on what's going on over in Africa. We are getting ready to host a team from the Encountering God conferences here in Kansas and across the nation. And so we're very excited about that. So we'll be hosting them in mid-July for about 10 days in the country. And then we'll be doing a three-day conference at our church in Makunda. And then after that, we'll be doing some work projects, some home repair projects, work on the children's home. And so keep that in your prayers that everybody would be safe, everybody would travel safely and be safe and have good health and strength as they are in the country. And so we thank you for the opportunity we have to minister with these people and to these people, to the good people of Kenya. And then secondly, we're going to be going back to Tanzania in August for a crusade in Dar es Salaam. And so we praise God for that. And we thank the Lord that we're going to be able to do a five-day crusade there with some very good friends in Dar es Salaam. And so that's going to be a wonderful opportunity for Gather the Outcast Ministry. So keep that also lifted up in your prayers as we look to later in the summer to reach out to the people of Tanzania. Well, once again, now we're going to look at dealing with anxiety. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that we were talking about dealing with fear. And so fear has been a very big issue, especially with the COVID virus and all the issues regarding that, the vaccinations and the masks and all of these things that have been ushered into our life because of the COVID virus. And so today we're going to be talking about dealing with anxiety and depression. What does God's Word say about anxiety? Can we be relieved of anxiety? Is it possible to live a stress-free life? Well, I don't think that's possible. That's a bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a high, lofty goal. But we can live more stress-free. We can live more depression and anxiety-free. And I believe that is God's will. I don't think He wants us consumed with anxiety and despair and depression. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. First, what does God's Word have to say about it? And then, what are the remedies and the solutions that we can look to as we deal with this situation in our life? Well, first of all, Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Well, we'll break that down into two parts. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Well, anxiety in the heart, we can see from this scripture, is not a good situation for us. And when we churn and we turn over and over in our mind and in our stomach and in our heart, all of these issues that are going on in America and in the world and in our personal lives, when we just churn with those issues and we can't seem to get any rest, we can't seem to get any peace, we can't seem to enjoy the day that the Lord has given us because we're too consumed with worry about tomorrow or too consumed with worry about what's going to happen next week or what's going to happen a year from now, we have to learn to focus on the day that the Lord has given us. And there's a good scripture that goes with that. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so when you focus on the day, maybe you have a lot of problems. Maybe you have a lot of mountains in your life. But just focus on the day that the Lord has given you and praise Him for small things. Praise Him for small victories, even to get free of certain addictions or get free of bondage, even if He gives you a small victory for even one day. That's something to praise. That's something to celebrate. And so we need to stay focused on the day that we're living in and give thanks to the Lord for the good day that He has given us. Well, when you continually internalize these worries and continually internalize and churn over all of the problems that we have. They just start to consume our physical body, ulcers and high blood pressure and high cholesterol, maybe all kinds of anxiety leads to many, many physical disabilities and debilitating situations. But if we learn to turn it over to the Lord, if we learn to just take it to the Lord in prayer, then we can give it to the Lord, and the Lord is big enough to fight the battles. The Lord is big enough to bring the solutions. The Lord is big enough to release us to have some freedom and to walk in that freedom and to enjoy the day and to enjoy tomorrow and enjoy the life that He's given us. And that is His plan. And He says, a good word makes it glad. Well, I'm going to jump over to a scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And we've spoken this on the radio here many times over the past years. Philippians 4, 6 says this. This is from the Apostle Paul. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so Paul says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, he's saying every situation that comes into your life, you have a choice to make. You can either churn on it and turn it over in your mind, turn it over in your stomach, continue to let it agitate you and stir you up and make you upset and make you angry or make you have depression. Or Paul says, you can turn that over to God. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Well, there's three things right there that you need to discipline your life so that you can do these three things and let the Lord have your problems. Let the Lord have your anxiety. Number one, Paul says, turn it over to the Lord in prayer. Well, you need to get a regular time of prayer. You need to go to your prayer closet, whether that's your bedroom or somewhere out in the woods or somewhere in your car. You need to shut off your phone. You need to shut off your laptop. And I know in this day and age, that's a very difficult thing to do because we're bombarded with texts. We're bombarded with emails. We're bombarded with office business and farm business and all that stuff. But the Lord says, spend time with me in prayer. And Jesus said, pray ye like this, Matthew 6, pray ye like this, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So hallowed be the Lord's name. We give him praise. We give him the honor and the glory that he is due. And then we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth. Let your kingdom and the will that you have for us here in the U.S., the will that you have for us in Kenya, let the will be done that you have expressed in heaven. Let it be done on earth through us. In other words, you become a vessel for God's work here on this earth. And as you do that, God will take your focus off of your circumstances. God will take your focus off of the trials and tribulations that you have, maybe the shortage of money or people that are attacking you, enemies coming against you, and God will give you a focus so that you can refocus your mind and your activity on the things of God, and you will focus on the things in the heavenlies, and you will be seated with the Lord in heavenly places. So first, we need to set aside time every single day to pray. Maybe it's the best time early in the morning, or maybe later in the evening before you go to bed, but set aside a time and get into your secret place. Get in to a place by yourself and spend time talking to the Lord in prayer. So along with prayer, then, Paul lists supplication. Well, what exactly is supplication? Supplication is a plea for mercy. And so we position ourselves before God. Mercy is favor that is granted to us, and we don't get what we deserve. We don't get the punishment, or we don't get the judgment that we deserve, because God has given us mercy. And the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. That's in James chapter 1, mercy triumphs over judgment. And so when God grants us mercy, he's not going to give us the judgment we deserve. And that is grace to give undeserved merit to us. And so supplication is a plea for mercy. And so we know that when we come before God, that he loves us, he loves you, he cares about you, he cares about the details of your life, he cares about everything that you're doing, he cares about your family, your job, he cares about your car, your possessions, your farm, and everything about your life. Every detail is important to God. And so you can humble yourself before God, you plead for mercy, and you say, thank you, Lord, everything that comes to me, that comes from you, is from the Father of lights above, and you're not a liar, you don't change, and you have no shifting shadow, and everything that comes to me from you is a blessing, and I'm going to receive it with gratitude. I'm going to give you thanks for the smallest things, even the air that I breathe, the sunshine, the crops, whatever it is the Lord has given you, a good job, a wife, a family, whatever it is the Lord has given you. Just focus on those things and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is a blessing to serve you. It is an honor to serve you. And it's a blessing to know you and to know that you care about me. You love me. You care about the things that I care about. And beloved, when you focus on your life that way and give thanks for every little thing, then God is going to encourage you. He will strengthen you and he will raise you up. And you can look then in the rearview mirror at those things that used to tear you down and drag you down and take you into anxiety and depression. And then the third thing in this scripture, Paul says, is with thanksgiving. And I've touched on that just a little bit here. Give thanks for everything. Don't be caught complaining about everything. Don't be a person that is always complaining and you feel like the rain never comes to your farm and you feel like the blessings never come to you and the promotions never come to you. Speak blessings over your life. Speak blessings over your family. Speak blessings over your crop and over your livestock and over your farm and over your business. Expect the Lord to do something great for you. Expect the Lord to release blessings and prosperity into your life through the things that you have and through the business, the farm, or whatever that you have. Expect the Lord to give you great things, and you give him the thanks every single day. Say, Lord, I thank you. I don't deserve any of this. It's nothing that I have accomplished on my own. You gave me the wisdom. You gave me the ability to grow this business or grow this farm or whatever that you have. And just ask the Lord to continue to bless you. But be sure and have a grateful heart and a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude when you speak to the Lord. And you don't even have to do that in your prayer time, in your secret place. You can be just driving down the road and you say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you, Lord, for this. I praise you, Lord, for that. And when you do that, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests, Paul says, let your requests be made known to God. Develop a lifestyle, a habit, a life of prayer. Develop that in your life where prayer just becomes a second nature existence to you. Prayer becomes a second nature habit, and you don't question when God asks you to pray or when God or the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. You don't even question it. You just move into prayer, and it can be when you're in the company of other people. It can be when you're in your car, on your tractor, any situation in your life. You can start to cry out to the Lord and pray and thank him all in the same breath. And so I'm going to just speak just a little bit about what is the definition of anxiety. And this is from the Webster's Dictionary. And it says here that it's characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind. Well, beloved, that's what the devil wants you to do. It says uneasiness of mind or brooding fear about some circumstance or contingency. And so the devil wants to get into our mind. He wants us to get full of anxiety, full of fear, full of depression, full of despair. And after a while, we can't praise God. After a while, we can't celebrate the good things in our life because we're so focused on those things that have negative consequences for our life. And so Paul says in verse 7 of Philippians 4, verse 7, he says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," and that's really true. God's peace surpasses all understanding. You can have peace in your life. Maybe you've never had it. Maybe you've always relied on drugs or alcohol or some kind of erratic, crazy behavior. God wants you to have peace in your life. He wants you to rest in peace, not only after you die, but He wants you to rest in peace in this life. And Jesus Christ is our rest. It's not necessarily the Sabbath rest. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. When we know Him, when we walk with Him and abide with Him, then He is our peace and He is our rest. So Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so that peace will guard your mind, and it will keep the devil from attacking your mind, and it will keep you from going into tailspins. It'll keep you from running to the drug cabinet or to the illegal drugs. Many people think they have to smoke pot to get peace. Many people have to shoot up to get peace, shoot up some kind of drugs. Many people are turning to drugs, legal and illegal, for peace and for comfort in their life. And God says, no, turn to Me. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so then Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren," he's wrapping up this passage of Scripture, "finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And so when we change our mind to focus on these things that are praiseworthy, that are of good virtue, and that are true and noble, and that are just, all of these things that are pure, that are lovely, when we focus on those things, then a peace comes about in our mind, and we get our emotions settled down, we get our passions settled down, and we start to praise God for the good things in our life. And I grant you, this is a difficult thing because so many negative things are coming at us in the news every day, and negative things are coming at us on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, all these ways, and the government puts out a lot of negative news and negative broadcasts. And so we have to really focus our mind, learn to train your mind on things that are a blessing to you, on things that are pure and lovely and of good report, and things that are praiseworthy. And when you do that, you'll start to see your energy level pick up. You'll start to see your peace become greater. You'll start to see peace become established in your life, and you can start to leave that anxiety and that depression and that despair behind that is dragging you down. Well, it takes discipline. Beloved, you can't just switch on good thoughts and switch off bad thoughts. You can't just switch on praiseworthy thoughts and switch off bad thoughts and unpraiseworthy thoughts. You have to discipline and train your mind and catch yourself to stop when you're watching TV, or stop when you're looking at Facebook, or stop when you're reading the newspaper, or whatever, and you catch yourself dwelling on all these negative reports, dwelling on all this bad news. And I would suggest, and I don't even do this myself all the time, but what I would suggest is that you set a limit for yourself on Facebook. You set a limit for yourself watching TV news, whatever it is that seems to be consuming you and taking you down. Just set a limit on it and say, okay, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to stop and listen to some praise and worship music. I'm going to stop and listen to some good preaching, or I'm going to take this time to read my Bible, or I'm going to take this time to get down on my knees and pray, or go into your back bedroom, into your secret place, into your closet, and shut the door and spend time with the Lord. Turn off your phone, turn off your laptop, turn off the TV, and if you do that, start to discipline yourself so that you can have a victory here. You start to discipline yourself, and then your mind starts to get focused on the things of God and off the things of the devil. Well, the latter part of that scripture in Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Well, what is a good word? How can we find a good word? I believe the Bible is the good word. I believe if you're reading through the Bible, you're going to have a whole different attitude. You're going to have a whole different perspective on your life. You're going to see things in a positive light. You're going to see things with a grateful heart and with thanksgiving. And so get that good word in your life. Maybe you've never been a Bible studier, a Bible reader. You need to do that. Get a copy and a translation that you are comfortable reading. I like to read the New King James or the English Standard Version, but there's many versions out there, and I don't recommend the Message. It's just too colloquial. It's too much paraphrasing, but I would recommend you get a Bible, a good translation, and spend time each day reading that Bible. Spend time each day with the Lord, because His Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And so that is Psalm 119, 105. I would highly recommend that you read all of Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the book of Psalms. It's the longest chapter. There's many, many verses in that book. And it's all about God's Word, the subject of that whole book. Chapter 119. The subject matter is all about God's Word, different aspects of God's Word. And so Psalm 119 tells us, Your Word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, when you have a lamp unto your feet, your steps are going to be sure. You're going to know where you're walking. You're going to know where you're stepping. And when you have a light unto your feet, you can have a much better idea of your direction, and you don't have to be looking behind you all the time. You can look ahead, and that light will light the path ahead of you, and then you will know where you're going. Well, I've just picked out some other scriptures here from Psalm 119. Here's Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Well, praise God for that. And the writer of this psalm said, You are my comfort in my affliction. Your word is my comfort in my affliction, and your word has given me life. Well, we know from John 1 that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that the word is Jesus Christ. The word came forth from God. By the word He formed the heavens and the earth. By the word He established all of creation. And through Jesus Christ, all of these things were created. And so when you read the word, you're actually absorbing Jesus into your life. And that's why the writer of this psalm says, This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Praise God for that. Well, Psalm 119, verse 9, How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Maybe you're weighed down with sin. Maybe you're weighed down with some habitual behavior that has been with you for many years, and you just feel drugged down and weighed down by it. And God says you can cleanse your way by taking heed according to His Word. You look at His Word, you read it, you meditate on it, and then don't be just a hearer of the Word or a one who sees the Word. Do the Word, put it to action, slowly but surely, maybe a small step at a time, a baby step at a time. Put that Word into practice in your life, one small step at a time. And then the writer of Psalms closes up here in verse 17, deal beautifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Well, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. Beloved, when you read God's word, when you meditate on it, and when you pray and do all those things that we've talked about, God will give you the peace that passes all understanding, and you will start to know what He means when He says He covers you and He protects you under the shadow of His wings. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, the many years that we have been here, and we thank the Lord for this message, and we pray that you would come alongside this ministry to help keep these radio broadcasts coming, and also to send help and aid and support to people in Africa and all the projects that we have going in Africa. And so we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. We invite you this day to sit down and help us and support us and pray for us. Do it today. We'd love to hear from you. And you can do that. You can be a part of sending this ministry all over Africa and across the USA through the radio broadcast. You be a part of the sending team, we be a part of the going team, and the Lord gives the increase. So we thank the Lord for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.